This is Very Interesting Radio with Very Interesting Magazine.
Indeed, and one of the thoughts that I had in the shower in Israel was, is it possible for chickens to lay eggs in space, Bruce Donnell?
You're still having weird showers, but it's okay. It theoretically is. A quail has laid an egg in space. That was on a Russian Soyuz spacecraft, and that was in 1990, so fairly recently. And there's no reason for the laying of the eggs to be an issue. Where it is an issue is getting those eggs incubated. And I have a mental image of this poor bird trying to sit on the egg and then sort of floating away, in zero G and just not being able to get close to the egg. But that seems to be the issue. And also there are a lot of defects in the embryos they found in eggs in space. And I think that also has to do with the lack of gravity.
Interesting. So do you think that humans would be able to reproduce in space where there's no gravity?
I imagine that they wouldn't, because for the same reasons, I imagine that the sort of controls on the gravity scenario would be much stricter, so that they would, which they can have. They do have compression chambers and all the rest of it,
yeah.
Which I don't think they're going to sort of spend all that money on a chicken. Although I suppose, for long-term missions and things with food and whatever, it would be really useful if they could get this right.
But,
not yet.
If we have the technology to move that far away from the planet Earth, surely we would have the technology not to have to eat animals.
It could happen. And look, the other thing with reproducing is that, even scientists still want to have sex. So they'll find a way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Why do we get dizzy when we spin, Bruce?
So as you move your head, anytime you move your head, there are fine hairs that line the inside of the tubes, the fluid-filled tubes that are in your inner ear. And so as you spin, your brain kind of keeps picking up that signal until, to a point it says, okay, that's the new zero. I'm desensitized. I'm resetting. And then you stop spinning. And your brain, your ear is going, everything's normal, and your brain is going, no, that's no longer normal. And that's the sort of dizzy feeling that you get until your brain readjusts. So it's just that there's a little bit of overlap in time there and it catches up.
So how do ballerinas do it? When they go round and round and round and round and round? How do they not fall
again,
over?
Again, their balance is so far advanced. I mean, if you see those pirouettes, there's the pause and the go, pause, go, pause,
yeah.
Go. And I think their adjustment period is that much quicker because of the practice.
Interesting. With all these labradoodles and mixed dog species, are there any dog breeds close to becoming a new species?
They're not, and this is it's something that I sort of had a sense about when we got a puppy, and I said, no, he was born a wolf, he can live where he lives and whatever, my children were going, oh no, but we must coddle him and so on. But the short answer is no. The domestic dogs as we know them now sort of evolved from between 17 and 33,000 years ago. Now, all domestic dogs are still the same species, which is called Canis lupus familiaris. And Canis lupus is the gray wolf. So familiaris is an offshoot of that, the domesticated
version.
The one
we knew, yeah.
Chihuahua, you can look at a Chihuahua, you can look at a Great Dane, whatever. They look completely different. But their genomes and their whole reproductive viability, all of that kind of stuff is pretty much the same, which is why you get those odd crossbreeds that you mentioned. I often wonder who was responsible for what, but I've literally seen a cross between a Rottweiler and a Maltese poodle, and I'm going, someone was very brave. There's not going to be a weird mutation there because they're still the same species. They just have slight variations.
That's so interesting. That's very interesting. And what's also interesting is that Chihuahuas aren't really dogs. I mean, they just sit there and they just shake.
They're handbag ornaments.
Handbag ornaments. That's exactly what they are. Why is air invisible?
It's because so air mostly is nitrogen and oxygen molecules, and they spread very, very thinly. So anything where that's going to affect light, in other words, to give us color, has to be a little bit denser. So that's why you could see water even though it's clear. That kind of thing. But you can obviously see, you can see air when there is, for instance, hot weather. You get that shimmering effect, the heat haze. And that's because the heat is opening and closing, as the molecules expand, it's causing fluctuations, in the air's density, in the molecules' density. And that's what makes it look different. So you get that strange, I can see the air feeling for a while.
Oh, love that. Bruce Donnell, thank you very, very much. And
thank
look
you.
Forward to speaking to you next Tuesday.
Fantastic. And mazel tov on being a mother-in-law, I suppose.
Thank you so much. I'm the ultimate mother-in-law. I live on the other side of the world. Does it get better than that?
There we go.
Thanks, Bruce.
Cheers.
God bless. Cheers. Bye.